Welcome to the Birth Lounge Podcast, an empowering space for expecting and new parents to hear candid conversations with experts, support your mental health, and learn the tips and tricks that thousands of parents have used to craft their ideal birth. We will answer all of your questions, the scary ones and the weird ones, to help calm your fears and feel confident going into your birth. I'm going to help you redefine what birth and motherhood looks like and how to embrace your journey. I've intentionally crafted an amazing list of experts to help you navigate pregnancy, explore your birth options, and plan for postpartum so it can be a time of soaking in your tiny human. We're going to go there on all the hard topics so that you can dive into finding your confidence and freeing yourself from fears around childbirth. With almost 10 years of experience in family education and a master's degree in human development and family studies, I created this podcast as a way to share information so parents can make educated and informed decisions about their care during pregnancy and childbirth. This is a birth community driven by evidence-based information and research in hopes to help you explore your options, understand your rights, and know what choices you have along the way. I'm your host, Hee-Hee. Now let's get to the good stuff. Have you been looking for a way to prepare your partner for birth? I know you know how important it is that they're educated on not only like what's normal in birth, but also what are your options? How can they help relieve some of the sensations and pains of labor? What positions can they get you in? How can they support you in pushing? How can they advocate for you? But I also know that it's pretty hard to find information, resources, classes, courses that are, you know, kind of specifically for a dad supporting you in labor. And so I wanted to introduce to you Dad Days. This is a course obviously meant for husbands so that they can understand everything I just said. I'm going to talk them through what normal birth looks like so that they can understand what is normal and safe and expected and what's not. I'm going to talk to them about variations in labor and what they should do, what they mean, and if they need to call the doctor, if they can reassure you that things are safe, if they can say, oh yeah, remember he taught me this in Dad Days. I'm also going to teach them about the psychology of things. I want them to understand what these changes feel like for you mentally, emotionally, physically, so that they can be the best support. We're also going to talk about each stage of labor and how they can help you with pain relief and comfort measures. Then, of course, I'm going to prepare them for afterbirth. We're going to talk about how they can support you in maintaining a positive and calm environment, how to be an active listener. We're going to talk about what they need to know about postpartum emotions and hormones and how that may impact your relationship and what role they can be to be the best support for you. And then finally, because we know the science so strongly suggests that having an educated and supportive partner of breastfeeding can be such an influential factor in your breastfeeding relationship, I'm also going to prepare them for breastfeeding. What they can do to bond with your baby, what they can do to encourage you to bond with your baby, and how do you re-split up the household tasks because you're going to be taking on all of baby duties or the majority of it. And so they are going to have to pick up some other slack in other ways. What will that look like? Dad Days is designed to change your partner's life. This is not only going to prepare them to speak up and advocate and support you and understand what you're going through in pregnancy and postpartum, but it's really going to empower them to have the confidence to be that active participant in parenthood where they are not just showing up to do the task, but they're actually active, they're engaged, they enjoy it, they bring ideas to the table, they have the confidence to take the initiative to make your workload and your life balance easier. I want this for you. I created this course to help you educate your partner alongside the information that I give you in the Birth Lounge. And so you can think about the Birth Lounge and the Dad Days course as kind of a husband and wife. The Dad Days course is specifically for dads. The Birth Lounge is made for moms, but also your partners can go through it too to learn so much. So they go together. They're like peanut butter and jelly, but do know that they can stand alone as well. If you want to learn more about that, you can visit thebirthlounge.com/daddays. That's D-A-D-D-A-Z as in zebra, E, Dad Days, because postpartum can feel a little foggy, but our Dad Days course is going to bring clarity to dads around birth. See you there. Hey, you guys, welcome back to another episode of the Birth Lounge podcast. All right, you guys, this week's episodes, both of them are so good. They are literally going to change your life. This week, we're talking a lot about birth and pregnancy and postpartum and parenthood from a dad's perspective first. And then we're going to talk about the mental load of parenthood and how that is typically spread across American families and what a future shift could look like and what that could mean for parenthood and families and marriages. In today's episode, I get to sit down with one of the coolest guests who has ever been on the show, and I'm so excited to share it with you today. I am getting to sit down with JJ Lowry, the author of a brand new dad's book, Becoming Dad, A Pregnancy Guide for Dads. He grew up in Utah and always kind of aspired to be an author, but never really did anything with that. But when his wife became pregnant, he then started to look into everything that he could to be an educated and supportive husband through the pregnancy process and learning everything that he needed to learn to properly support her in birth. And then also he was trying to educate himself on what to expect when his tiny human actually got here. And by the end of it, he realized that through all of his note taken, he had actually typed up 30,000 words, and he decided to put all of this into a book. But today's episode, we're going to dive into the things that he found most surprising, the things that were kind of hard for him to research and find information about. We are also going to talk about the things that his wife was doing to prepare for labor, how and what they would talk about between themselves. He even shares their experience with doing perineal massage, and he is involved in that. He was an active participant in preparing her perineum for labor. So cool conversation, and I'm so stoked to be able to share it with you guys. All right, without further ado, JJ, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks so much for having me. I'm excited to be here with you.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm so excited to have you. So I don't have a lot of men on this podcast, and I have to be honest that this is the first time I've ever talked about, I think specifically fatherhood. Obviously, fatherhood and partner support and your partner playing their role in this whole process has come up here and there in snippets, in conversation, in passing, but I've never had an episode dedicated to dad specifically. And so I'm super duper stoked for this conversation. So I think the place that I want to start is, how did you come to write this book? Who is JJ Lowry?
Yeah, so when I found out my wife was pregnant about 9 months ago, I, like any other new father, had a ton of questions and wanted to figure out how to support my wife and be a good partner and prepare for fatherhood. So I ordered a couple books off of Amazon, started reading about how to prepare for fatherhood. And the books I read, maybe I just got the wrong ones. They were really vague, and I just found more questions than answers. And so I spent tons of time researching and watching videos from OBGYNs and midwives and doulas and learning about pregnancy and childbirth, et cetera. And I took notes while I researched. And at the end of all my research, I had like 30,000 words written down. And I was like, this is basically a book. And I've always wanted to write a book. Didn't expect my first book to be about a pregnancy guide for dads, but I wrote a book after that. Yeah.
But here we are. I love it. Okay. That's amazing. All right. I guess my first question is, take us back to the moment that you found out you guys were having a baby, and what were the thoughts that were going through your head? Open up a man's brain and tell us, like, what is that moment like?
So I have talked to a lot of other men who have had that moment, and there's been lots of nerves. I think that's a pretty normal reaction. We were trying to have a kid, and I was just excited for it. Came home from work, the classic story, she pulls out the pregnancy tester, and it's got the line on it. And we're like, oh my gosh, we're pregnant. And I was just ready for it. I'm ready to be a dad. And so there was a lot of excitement, and then tons of questions, you know, figuring out, like, how are we going to deal with finances? My wife is going to stop working. how are we going to deal with the social implications of having a child, and like how are we going to spend time with our family and our friends and all that. Anyways, so lots of questions, but honestly, just really excited.
Yeah, okay. And what did you know about pregnancy and maybe the female body before this? Nothing.
Nothing. Yeah, absolutely nothing. Honestly, I was like scared to say the word vagina. Like, I couldn't talk
Oh,
about it. I didn't know anything about it. I didn't know anything about pregnancy. I guess I'm a little bit of an authority now. I know a lot about it, which is great. It makes me much more confident.
yeah, absolutely. And that confidence is going to absolutely play out in the birth room and in postpartum as well. Your wife is going to have places where she is going to be dependent on you. She needs you to be that voice, to be the brain that is thinking, to be, the protector, to be that support. There are many roles that you're going to play in the labor process, and I think confidence is key to almost all of it. So, kind of a personal question, but did you grow up around girls? Did you have sisters?
Yeah, so
You
I have
did. Yeah.
three older siblings, and two of them are girls. One is a twin
Okay.
sister, and so
Okay.
a lot of time with her, but still didn't talk about
Girl things.
things. Yeah.
Yeah. No, and I think that's a common story. I think that's almost everybody's story. With the dads that we see, it's very rare that we get a dad that's comfortable with the female body and understands all of the things. And, a lot of time I think the story is either you were or you weren't trying, but either way, the male partner is unlikely to be keeping up with, their wife's cycle or their period or their ovulation or any of that. It may or may not be a conversation in the household, depending on what you guys are doing, whether you're trying or not. But yeah, I think you have a very common story. I think a lot of men find themselves in a place of, I want to have a baby. Yay, we're pregnant. What does that actually mean again? Like, where are we going? I'm not even sure where we came from. We achieved the goal that we were going for, but I don't know what to do now. And so I think it's amazing. And I love that you took genuine information and education of a first-time dad, of someone first going through this, and are sharing it with the world of other dads, because I have a course and it's called Dad Days, DAZE. And when I created this, because when I first started in this, I found that there was virtually no support for dads, right? There's no support. And postpartum too is really hard. And I find that there's no like dad support groups in postpartum, where moms have all sorts of mom groups. Dads really struggle with that. So what was, I guess, along the road of pregnancy, and maybe we should have you back on for an episode two to talk about postpartum once your baby is here and kind of once you guys have settled into that role. But throughout pregnancy, what was one of the most surprising things for you? And I guess, like, what category did it fall into? Because there is emotional support and physical changes and what's actually happening with your baby and your wife's body, things like that. Where was your most surprise?
I think one of the surprising things are the emotional attachments that a woman has as she, or the emotional changes as she gets pregnant, so, even though some things are expected. So, like, a woman's body grows when she gets pregnant, right? She's going to gain 20 to 30 pounds, which is a pretty healthy weight, depending on her body size and the baby's size and whatnot. And in my mind, I was like, okay, this is expected. No woman, no human wants to gain 30 pounds in 9 months, but it's expected and it's normal. So it shouldn't be like a hard thing. You know, that's the male mind thinking there. But it's not an easy thing, even though you expect it to happen, right? And so I think getting over those like logical statements in the way that my male brain thinks and seeing things in more of an emotional way as my wife's body changes and being able to support her with that. That was kind of surprising and eye-opening.
And what were some of the things that you did to help yourself make that change? So, were there key phrases that you stuck into your conversations? Were there mental mantras that you reminded yourself of when you came to conversations with your wife? What helped you really kind of make that shift to be able to see things kind of from her perspective, or to meet her where she's at from your male perspective, because that's what she was seeking.
Right. I think part of it was just becoming aware that we see things differently, which I started learning as I researched from the perspective of females, how they feel about pregnancy and whatnot. And then asking questions to my wife, how it makes her feel and whatnot. And then I would try to, when she would have something hard happen, I would try to not rush to conclusions or try to fix the problems, but try to ask questions and listen, which I'm not a perfect father or husband. It's something I'm working on, but I find that things go much better when I don't fix problems and just listen.
Yeah, we strive for an 80-20 around here. So do it right 80% of the time, and 20% of the time you're allowed to mess up. So I think you're good there. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Nobody's going to hit 100%. Okay, you looked like you had a number of things that were surprising to you. So what else did you find, you know, kind of as like aha moments throughout this process?
So something else that surprised me was everybody I know who goes into pregnancy and childbirth follows pretty much the same route where you go to a hospital and you get an epidural or you get a C-section, there's medical intervention, and it's not normally a great experience, but then you have a baby and everything's okay.
Wow.
But while I did a lot of research, I learned a lot about like the natural birthing process and having advocates like midwives, doulas to help a woman have a natural birthing process and different pain management techniques, ways to prepare for childbirth where, you know, you can prevent perineal tearing with perineal massage or lots of different birth techniques like that, that I think really changed the game for us. And where originally I may have just assumed we were going to go this traditional route of being in a hospital or doing more of a go to a birthing center, have a midwife, try to have a more natural birth experience. And I think we're excited about it. I think it's going to be a good experience.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think you have the tools to do it. I believe that, you know, I just think that with so much education and research behind you, and it sounds like you guys had a lot of conversations and we'll get there, but I really do think that the confidence that you guys have is going to be key to that. Okay, so was your wife doing work alongside you as you were doing your research and education? Was she also kind of diving into pregnancy and childbirth education and things like that?
Yeah. Since I ended up writing a book on it, oddly enough, I spent more time on it than she did, but she was definitely doing research, you know, answering questions for herself. And we did some birth. So choosing, and then she would learn something new and talk to me about it. I would learn something new and talk to her about it. And so we were pretty open about our education for pregnancy.
Yeah, that was going to be my question is did you guys like sit down and have intentional conversations, or was it more of like just casual banter? Like, oh, I learned this today. Or like, did you know this? Or like, are you feeling this? I read this earlier today.
I think most of it was more casual like that. Many times when we'd sit down and have more formal conversations and talk about, you know, the conversation about what we wanted our birth plan to look like and our birth experience. That was more formal. There's a couple times we sat down actually with a list of questions talking about what our experiences were as children with our parents and how we wanted to parent our own children, just asking different questions about how we wanted to be as parents. So a mix of casual and formal conversation, but I think that open conversation is just really crucial in having a good relationship preparing for a child.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we know that communication is even more important after your baby gets here, and it's going to be limited because you're working on, you know, lack of sleep and you're trying to double team a baby. And sometimes it really does take two adult humans to take care of a little baby. And you may find that you are just kind of ships passing in the night. And so good, solid communication, honest and transparent, kind conversation, even in the intense moments, is really, really important all throughout. So you're getting near your due date. You've done all this education. Yeah. How are you feeling?
I'm excited. Every day I come home and I'm like, are we there yet? Like, can we have the baby? And we're just making the last preparations, setting the nursery up and whatnot. I'm pretty much ready though.
That's awesome. Okay. And how's your wife feeling?
She's feeling good. She's also excited. Yesterday she was having like Braxton Hicks and cramping. I was like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
She's ready to be done with pregnancy, like I think most women are at this point, but she's doing good.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, and so what are your conversations looking like these days, and what are you doing to support her in these final kind of days and weeks of labor or pregnancy? Because these can be daunting times. They can feel very anxiety filled. Some people really feel the pressure of the unknown. Some people get very, very uncomfortable, even mentally uncomfortable, emotionally uncomfortable, not just physically uncomfortable. And it can be kind of hard to remind yourself of what you want. So, what are you doing, and how are you kind of supporting her? And what are these conversations looking like in these last couple of weeks and days?
Yeah. So as far as kind of emotional support and conversation, I think a lot of it is more affirmational.
Yeah.
So be a little bit nervous about how her body will perform or react during labor. And there's a mantra from a doula that we took a class from. She says that your body is built to birth.
Totally.
And so we will have conversations about how, women have been having births for thousands of
Yeah.
years,
Yep.
and her body is capable of performing this very difficult thing. So lots of affirmation. And then on the physical side of things, besides just the typical, preparing and to host a baby here, we're doing perineal massage, which I
Okay.
think helps us build a little bit of confidence because perineal tearing is a scary thing for a female going into pregnancy. I would assume I would not want tearing in that location. I would not want tearing anywhere on my body. And so this perineal massage is basically a kind of a vulnerable type of massage, but it helps loosen up those muscles to prevent tearing during childbirth.
Nice.
So that's also something that helps us build a little bit of confidence since we're like doing everything we can to prepare.
Yeah, you're helping her with those perineal massages, or she's doing them. No, you're helping her. Would you be comfortable telling kind of what role you play in that for men who've never heard of perineal massage?
Yeah. Oh, I might be saying that wrong. Perineal. Thank you.
Yeah, I think you can say it in multiple ways.
Okay. So perineal massage, basically the perineum is the muscle, the skin in between the vagina and the anus, right? And when a baby's head goes through the vaginal canal, it stretches that area so much. And if those muscles are really tight, or the woman pushes too fast and those muscles don't have time to loosen up, they'll start tearing. And sometimes they tear really bad. And so, like a professional athlete doesn't just go into game day without stretching or warming up, or else they'll pull their muscles or hurt. Perineal massage is kind of like our warm-ups and stretches. So typically what we do, we try to do it a couple times a week. My wife will take a long hot shower, loosen up the muscles in her body, relax, and then she'll dry off. And then she sits on the bed without clothes on. And I just make sure do you want me to go into the details of this?
Yeah, you can as much as you're comfortable with. So the goal of this, I think, is to get this in the hands of men who would otherwise be uncomfortable or questioning if this is normal. Is this something that they need to be involved in? And so I think it's really inspiring to hear how confident you are in participating in this and supporting your wife. And I could just like cry thinking about how amazing the support is. And I wish every woman had a male partner or a partner, any partner that felt comfortable really kind of doing this and talking about it and advocating for it. So yeah, absolutely. As much as you and your wife are comfortable with, I will take.
So yeah, she takes a hot shower. I clip my thumbnails because nails can hurt in
Yeah.
sensitive body. Trim down a little bit with nail filers and then wash my hands, get a little bit of lubrication on my thumbs. And then basically I put my thumbs inch or two into my partner's vaginal canal. And you press down and kind of do a U shape to provide massage in that area. And there has to be lots of communication between her and I because if I push a little bit too hard, it goes from a 2 on the pain scale to a 7 on the pain scale immediately.
Wow, yeah.
Turn on some music or something in the background to distract us, and then we'll massage for 5 or 10 minutes. And the goal is just to stretch out and loosen that area. And the crazy thing is, after 5 minutes, I can feel that it's looser, which is incredible.
Wow. Wow.
It'll probably help her decrease the odds of perineal tearing when she has a child. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Wow, that is incredible that you can feel the difference. And boy, for somebody who didn't grow up saying the word vagina, you sure did explain perineal massage very well. I feel like you did it perfectly. I was like, yeah, I'm prepared. I could do this for somebody.
Not comfortable saying the word just now, but I can say it at least.
I think you did a fantastic job. That was great. And I think, a lot of people, well, I know a lot of women know about perineal massage. I don't know how many people actually take advantage of it, but I do know that the clients that we have, a lot of them take advantage of doing it, but by themselves because their partners don't want to, or maybe that mom doesn't have the confidence to ask their partner to be in, be involved in that. And I know it does take a specific type of relationship, and some people are not going to have the safety or relationship to be able to ask your partner to do that. But I do think, like what you say, it really gives you some carved out magical time to kind of get to know one another and have this sensual time that is preparing for a very sensual experience in your life, which is birth and labor, having your baby welcome you in this world. Yeah.
Yeah, I will say, especially the first time I did it, it was very vulnerable and quite uncomfortable.
Awkward, even.
Awkward, yeah. But after,
Yeah.
it's fine.
Yeah, for sure. I can definitely see that. I think it goes back to having trust in your partner and that good communication, right? Which is what a relationship is all about. And these are the same qualities and environmental things that we need in labor for your wife to feel safe and grounded. That's why in the beginning of this episode, I talked about your wife is not seeking necessarily a more feminine you. She's seeking just for you to understand that feminine mindset, but she is reaching out for that masculine energy. We definitely need that in labor. Okay, so we talked about kind of where you are at now. What are your plans for birth in terms of the role that you're going to play? So we kind of all understand what our care provider and the nurse and what your wife is going to be doing, but where are you going to be? What are you going to be doing? And what did you learn through writing this book about support in labor?
Yeah. So some of my biggest roles are just going to be supporting my wife where she needs support, right? So if she asks me to do anything, I am there for her. From what I understand, there are times when my wife will be having contractions where she will be in immense pain and it is difficult for her to make decisions in those times. And I have a series of pain management techniques kind of laid out, and I will help coach her through those. And so the plan is like, let's say she hits a contraction, she gets uncomfortable, and I say, all right, we just have to make it through 3 minutes of breathing, and then I'll go through some breathing with her. And then after that, we're gonna do 4 minutes. We'll be in this certain position, and I'll give you some counter pressure on your glutes. And then we're gonna do 5 minutes where you can stand in a hot shower. And I'm like, and so then we have a plan for the next, 12 minutes. And I At least this is the plan. I'll help coach her through those 12 minutes. And all she has to do is focus on the next thing that I invite her to do. And then I'll do things like massage and just try to support her.
Yeah, absolutely. I love it. I think you just painted such a picture perfect plan. So a lot of it is emotional support, those mantras of you're doing it, you can do this, you're strong, you look beautiful, you're bringing our baby in the world. Thanks for working so hard for our family. Like all of those are perfect, right? That physical support, you mentioned the hip squeezes and pressing on the glutes and being in the shower and the doing. So filling up the bathtub, draining the bathtub, helping her move from the birth ball to the bed or vice versa, filling up her water bottle. Now, your hospital staff is going to do some of this with you, but I think it changes from facility to facility. And so you may get a really helpful, and then you may not, depending on where you live and where you're birthing. So just knowing that you are there to be kind of a multi-pronged support for your wife is kind of the picture perfect plan. I love it. I love it so much. Okay, what are you most excited about in birth?
Most excited about. I'm just excited to have a son. I think that's gonna be so fun. But yeah, my kid's a boy, and I've heard it can be a really bonding experience between a mother and a father during the childbirth experience. So I'm kind of looking forward to that. It also could be traumatizing. Who knows when we get there? But
I guess you are right. Yeah. Let's keep the vibes happy. We will send you all the good, happy, joyous birth vibes. Yeah, one of my favorite parts of being a doula is watching those people fall deeper in love, and it is the strangest phenomenon because you can see it happen. You can see that they just entered a new part of their relationship. They're different people. Their relationship is deeper. They're in a different part of their life now after their baby gets here, and it is so cool, and I cry every time, and I'm like on the verge of tears right now thinking about all these beautiful couples I've ever seen do this. I love it so much. Okay, I think I'm ready maybe to shift to, well, not quite yet. My last question about the labor support. What is your plan in speaking kind of to hospital staff and helping your wife navigate the hospital policy and that advocacy piece of, you know, we may not always agree with the doctors that are on call, but we still want to remain respectful, obviously, in communicating what our preferences are and working collaboratively with them.
Yeah. So I think we got really lucky because the place that we're doing birth at is a birthing center attached to
Nice.
a hospital, which
Yeah.
is the best combo because we have midwives who are proponents of more of a natural birthing experience. And we've met the three midwives that we could potentially be doing it with, depending on who's on call at the time. And most of our thoughts align with their thoughts, right? And if there's an emergency, the hospital is down the hall, so we can go down there. But if the midwives aren't advocating for my wife in the way that we would hope they are, my job will be if they ever bring up something that we haven't discussed beforehand or that my wife might be uncomfortable with, I will put the brakes on and make sure we talk about the risks and the benefits of that thing, and if it's actually something that needs to happen.
Yeah,
And
absolutely.
then evaluate if that's what we should do.
Sure. I call that pause in the room and I love it. And, you know, it's big and it's small. It's a very small thing to do, is just pause the room, but it feels very big and it carries a lot of weight and it is very powerful. And so one of my biggest suggestions to partners going in to support somebody in labor is know how to speak up and just say, we need a few minutes to kind of think about this and to talk about our options. So cool. All right, now I'm ready to move to postpartum. What did you learn about postpartum and what are you guys doing to prepare for your baby's arrival?
Postpartum. So, there's so much we can talk about. What a big topic.
Yeah, where do we start? As if the birth stuff wasn't enough.
First thing we bring up is I ran into this really interesting study by Dr. John Gottman, who
Okay.
is a preeminent American psychologist, particularly about marriage. And they reported that 70% of couples have a decrease in relationship satisfaction after having a baby. For the
Wow.
first, I think, year. And I don't want that to happen. I think a baby is something to be celebrated, and it's something that I would hope would improve my relationship with my wife. And I don't think there was an exact reason why people experience this decrease in satisfaction of the relationships. But one of the thoughts is that before having a child, a husband and wife, they spend all their time together, and then the baby comes, and there might be added stresses, but like all the attention goes to the child, and the parents stop courting each other and spending time with each other like they used to. And so, postpartum, I just really want to have a big emphasis on still courting my wife and making sure our relationship matters. And I also think that is something that will help with postpartum depression, which is a big topic where many women experience so many hormonal changes and life changes after having a baby that they will have this initially what they call baby blues, but then it turns into that kind of long-term depression. And from what I learned in my research is that even men experience postpartum depression. They just don't talk about it as much because we ball up our emotions.
Yeah, that's fascinating. I remember when and where I was exactly when I learned that men could have postpartum depression, because it is often talked about and I think dealt with as a woman's issue, right? When in reality, it is primarily women, the people who are actually having the baby. But men can definitely have postpartum depression. And I think that, that piece right there is so important. And kind of the drive for this entire episode is you're going to, as a dad, have a different perspective of things. And so just because your wife doesn't have postpartum depression doesn't mean you can't develop it. And vice versa, just because your wife does have it doesn't mean you can't develop it. You both can have it. Having a baby is such a big life change. Even for really prepared people, even for people who know what's coming, having a baby just really, it changes your life in a great way, in a fantastic way, but there is a learning curve attached to it for sure. And I think that we've really hit on a lot of places where men can do a great job of supporting and leading their families in this big, massive change that is coming your way. Yeah. Okay. What did your conversations about preparing for postpartum look like? I think this is a place that not a lot of people prepare for. Everybody pre prepares for the birth, right? But so often postpartum is left kind of unprepared for. And so I think even if people know to prepare, they don't really know what to ask each other. What conversations are we having? So what did those conversations look like? What kind of things were you guys talking about in order to kind of, I guess, plan for postpartum, lay down a nice foundation for when your baby does arrive?
Yeah. So I think a lot of the, we talked about a lot of the obvious things, which is like, how are we going to care for a child? And, what will our sleep schedule look like? When am I going to get up in the night to care for child? When are you going to get up in the night to care for child? All the basic child care things.
Okay.
But we also spent time talking about my wife is going to go through lots of life changes. She was working, 40 hours a week as a massage therapist, and that gave her a lot of meaning and purpose. And that's going to go to basically zero for at least some period of time. And that also provided her with a lot of social interactions, which she won't have anymore. So we spent a lot of time talking about like what will provide her with meaning and structure. I think a lack of structure can be a problem child. It can help contribute to the postpartum depression. So those are the kinds of things we've discussed, like structure and meaning in life postpartum.
Yeah, absolutely. Not having time for your mind to wander and spiral, right? Having time that is filled with things and that is constructive and does find that meaning and that purpose that you're talking about, which may be different. I totally hear you on the loss of identity, and I think that's something that a lot of women are not prepared for. And I think that as men, I mean, I'm not a man, I obviously do not know. It seems like it's very hard for men to understand that loss of identity, and I obviously don't know why, but I do see it. It's very, very common for the woman to feel like she has lost herself, lost her identity, lost her meaning, her purpose in the process of motherhood. And so often, I think men are kind of hard, it's harder for them to understand that.
Interesting you point that out because it feels like it in my mind that it should add identity, like I have this extra layer. I'm a father, I'm a protector, a provider, and my wife it will then become a mother and have this added layer of purpose. But there's just, oh, I was going somewhere with that. Yeah,
So
so
do
much.
you think that maybe that has to do with the fact that, and this is not the case for everybody, I'm just gonna like say that first, but in a lot of cases, the men's life don't really change that much, right? Like you still get to go away to your 9-to-5 job. You still get to, go play golf on the weekends, and you still get to kind of come home and have dinner. And now there's bedtime routine involved, but chances are you might not do the whole thing, especially if nursing or breastfeeding is part of that. There are things that you can't do, and I recognize that as well. But I think that, in my opinion, from my perspective, that sometimes that not understanding that loss of control or that loss of identity is because your identity didn't really change. You didn't lose it. It just shifted a bit. And shifts are always obviously easier to deal with than losses.
Yeah, I think you've totally nailed it on the head. I obviously will like try to get involved with childcare as much as I can. And
Yeah.
when I'm home, we're planning on me taking care of the child, especially like certain days of the week I'll take off work or evening so that my wife can still do some massage therapy or do whatever it is that she wants to do. Go throw
Nice.
some pottery.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll still be working 9 to 5. So.
Yeah. Yeah. I always find it so fascinating with the couples that we work with to kind of see how they work out the postpartum piece because people do it all sorts of ways. And I think that's one of the things I really admire about families who go into this very confident is they really find what works for them and they don't let outside kind of voices and opinions impact that. So I think that's my advice for any dad that's listening postpartum is you and your wife should do what is best for your family, what works for you guys and your lifestyle and your baby and whatever else you need, and try to kind of shut out other people's opinions and stuff because it can be a lot. There's a lot of noise out there. Everybody's got an opinion, everybody. And so, you know, just really do what is best, what's best for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. What else do you think about postpartum? Is there any other thoughts that you're like, we should definitely tell new dads about this that you learned along the way?
I think this is more of a long-term postpartum, but there is a lot of studies out there that talk about how when fathers spend time with their children, it really impacts the outcomes of their life.
Nice.
So I'm thinking of specifically one, I think I've got it pulled up here. There was one where, so it was a study that started in the 1980s. It was like a 30-year study, and they measured for 200 families. So it's not a huge number, not a super strong study, but there's still lessons to be learned from it. For 30 years, they followed the relationship between a father and a son specifically, and the quantity of good interactions that they had between the father and the son, and then what the son's life looked like 30 years down the road. And the sons who had less quality interactions with their fathers had more problems with drugs and had higher levels of stress in their life, were the two things they were specifically measuring. And so it's really important for a father to get involved in their children's lives. It can drastically impact them. But that is a very long-term postpartum.
Yeah, no, but I think that's a topic that a lot of people are not thinking about. And I think it can be really hard in the day and age that we live in, depending, I think, maybe where you live in the country or even in the world. But if you live in a major city in America, man, you're going to be really pushed to be career driven. You're going to be really pushed to work long hours and prioritize work over your family in a lot of cases. And so, and again, I know that's not the case for everybody, but I would say that's the case for the majority of men, especially living in big cities. And you touched on the financial piece of like, how are we going to financially plan for this? My wife is out of work. Now we're going to down to one income. So I think that a lot of things go into that pressure, but definitely prioritizing and finding time to be with your baby and your children as they grow up is important. So what are some of the things that you are planning or kind of envision in doing and spending time in your with your baby in the first year of life? You talked about doing some feeds, I guess things like being part of the bedtime routine. And are you planning on having like specific time each day or each week that you do something with your baby, just you?
So one of the things, I don't know if my wife will let me get away with this, but the person that gets up for all of the nighttime feedings, because my wife already has enough to deal with. And I personally have this ability to fall asleep at any time in any location. And so if I have to get up to feed a child in the night, it's not a big deal because I will fall asleep within seconds after we're done. And so obviously, we'd have to get the milk and the bottles and whatnot, but I would like to be able to spend that time with the child and give my wife the time to rest. And then I want to have little daily routines besides the nighttime routine, but like, reading to my kid every day or
Oh, yeah.
introducing them to new classical music or jazz or trying to build their little brains.
Yeah, absolutely. Skin to Skin for Dads is great, you guys. So if you're listening out there and you don't know what skin to skin is, you're literally going to strip your baby down to a diaper and you're going to take off your shirt. You're going to lay with your baby. And if you're familiar with baby wear, and this is a great way to baby wear, is kind of skin to skin. I love helping dads find routines. Being the diaper changer as well allows you a good 2 to 3 minutes every 2 hours or so where you are changing your baby's diaper. You're spending one-on-one time. You get that eye contact. You get that physical touch. It's a great time to incorporate like massage or singing to your baby or just talking to them, any sort of eye development, language development. So it's very easy to spend time with your baby.
Yeah, I also do want to do the skin to skin effort.
Yeah. This reminds me of all of the shirts where the dads are wearing the babies in the shirts, those kangaroo shirts. It's not skin to skin, but you do get to baby wear and spend some time with your baby and bond that way. So that's
I'm
awesome.
wearing my baby everywhere I go.
Yeah, look, you're gonna turn some heads with that. People are not used to seeing dad's baby wear, so I commend you on that one, and I'm high-fiving you from all the way from Boston, saying like, yeah, keep going, JJ. I love this. I love what you are doing to set the tone for what a dad can be. I think that the idea of what a dad is and maybe used to be is shifting to a new age dad, and I'm so pumped up for it. I'm so here. I really think that a lot of the issues that people in our age group and the generations kind of directly below us are facing are going to be changed by us because we saw kind of a generation where, like you said, their dads were not super involved. And so we're finding that the more involved you are, the better your children are able to be out in the real world and live a successful and happy life, which is what we all want for our kids, obviously. Okay, JJ, is there anything that I didn't ask you that you're like, okay, I cannot let a new dad have a baby without knowing this? Or all the juicy details in your book? You decide. You let us know. You've given us so many gems so far.
I'm gonna hit on finances really quick.
Totally.
Any mom or dad out there that's scared about the finances of having a child, because the statistics say that it costs over $300,000 to raise a child to the age of 18 or $17,000 a year.
Yikes.
And if anyone hears that number, it's like overwhelming. Like, oh my gosh, where am I gonna get an extra $17,000 post-tax to pay for this child? But the truth is that for most people, kids cost exactly how much the parents can afford. And the amount of space that a kid will take up is like the same space that the parents have to allot to them, right? And so, like in my book, I go through the finances of having a child and the typical, like all the preparations for having a child and healthcare and whatnot can be up to $17,000 up front, and then like $550 per month taking care of the child after that. My wife and I kept our upfront costs to about $800.
Nice.
And we've planned out the monthly expenses. It's going to be way less than that. But for anybody that's worried about the finances, like there is a way to do it, and it doesn't have to be wildly expensive. And I detail that out in the book as well. But ask friends, get creative. You don't have to spend tons of money for this.
Yeah, I love that. So what I'm hearing is your baby will fit into the life that you have. And I think that's perfect. I think that's, that relieves so much unnecessary stress of like, oh my God, we're pregnant. What are we gonna do? We're gonna be fine. We're gonna have this baby and we're gonna love this baby and they're gonna fit right into our life and we will figure it out because we've never not figured it out before. That is one of my favorite mantras, is that we have never not figured it out before. And so we're gonna figure this one out. I love that, JJ. Thank you so much for sharing that, truly. And I love how you were like, can I share finances? I'm like, yeah, I'm a girl. I would never have thought about that. I don't know. That's not where my brain goes. So perfect. Okay, we keep talking about your book. Tell us about your book.
So my book, it goes over pretty much everything we've talked about today in more detail and beyond. So just starts you right out at the when you find out your wife is pregnant, and it walks through all the changes that your wife's body will go through in the 9 months, all of the emotions that she's going to be feeling, all of the possible bad things and the good things that could happen, and then talks about like healthcare and who to look for healthcare, if you should have a natural birth, if you should do birth at home, if you should go to a birthing center, to a hospital, have an OBGYN or a midwife, etc. We talk about the finances, we talk about making a will, we talk about different preparations and techniques, which we talked about some of them, like birthing positions, birthing classes, perineal massage. And then it also covers things at the end, like how to actually support your wife in labor and what happens in childbirth and what happens in the next couple of weeks postpartum, how you can be prepared for, actually taking care of a child, postpartum depression, being prepared for that to potentially come, etc. It's every single question that I had about how to become a father, I asked that question and then I wrote the answer in this book. And so my hope is that I have covered every single question that any of you could have about becoming a father.
That is awesome. It's like the dude statement from dad to dude law. I love it. That's hilarious. That's amazing. Oh my gosh, this is gonna be such a good resource for people. Okay, so tell us where we can get it. Where can people order it and how do they search it?
Yep. So go on to Amazon. That's where it's available right now. And just type in Becoming Dad by J.J. Lowry. And it should be the first book that pops up on there. It's the full title is Becoming Dad, A Pregnancy Guide for Dads. And I'm really excited about it. While we've been writing the book, I've reached out to a lot of doulas and got a lot of feedback from them specifically. So we've incorporated a lot of advice from doulas in the book. So there's also advice from the birthing professionals, you know.
I love that. That is awesome. Okay, you guys, I know that this episode has changed your life. I know that you are leaving here with more information than you came because, JJ, that was mind-blowing. That was great. Thank you so much for being here with us today. I really appreciate it. I'm just so stoked to get this information into to dad's hands because, like we said in the beginning, this is a true deficit in the birth world. There's not a lot of information where dads can go to find true and transparent information. You talked about data, so I'm assuming the whole book is evidence-based and kind of driven by data, and people can trust that it's given them kind of clear information so that they can make informed decisions, and that is our whole goal here. So thank you very much for being here. Do you have a social media page for people to follow you or connect with you on?
I wish I did, but I
That's
don't.
okay. Yeah, hey, I love it. They're gonna go grab your book and I'm sure they'll find you that way if they need you.
If you go to the Amazon page for the book, I've actually got my email listed on there a little bit down. Special shout out to the doulas. If you reach out to me via email, and I'll send you a free PDF of the book.
Nice. I love that. All right, you guys, I'm going to skedaddle because I'm going to go start reading my copy of Becoming Dad. But JJ, truly, thank you so much for sharing all of this information. I really, really, really appreciate it. This is going to be an amazing episode. All right, you guys, I will see you next time. Head over to Instagram and find me at Tranquility by Hee Hee and at the.birth.lounge. And I will see you next time. Bye, y'all. Thank you so much for tuning in today. I truly do value this community and I love hanging out with you. If you found today's episode helpful, share it with a friend. Share it with someone who might also find this information helpful. I'd love to hear what you have to say and read your sweet words on iTunes. You can leave us a review and this helps get this information into the hands of parents who might also benefit from hearing it. If you're interested in joining the Birth Lounge, you can go to thebirthlounge.com. Our blog is linked there. You can find all sorts of free information as well as how to get your access to the Birth Lounge. You can always hang out with me on Instagram as well at Tranquility by Hee Hee. Until then, stay educated, stay supported, stay confident.